Hello and welcome to the Pocket Gamer Podcast. It's episode number 283. I'm your host, James Gilmore, and I'm joined by Mr. Peter Wellington.
Hi.
And Harry Slater.
Hello.
Let's talk about weather, because we're British. It's warm, it's really warm, it's a little bit too warm. Who else is sweltering in their own little...
Goodness me, I've got an ice pack in my crotch, one in my butt.
In your crotch?
I've got one underneath each arm.
And Peter Wellington takes refrigeration to an entirely new level.
Exactly, and the people who aren't watching on the stream right now, they don't know that I'm not... Whether or not I'm telling the truth, so...
I don't really know, or necessarily want to know. Harry, you look remarkably cool in your bedecked in your new glasses, as we could all see. Twitch viewers can see it. Podcast listeners, trust me, he has spangly new lenses on his face. I don't think I've seen you with bins on your nose before.
No, this is, like, my first try.
With glasses. So now, has everything just suddenly snapped into focus?
No, everything is just like having a colossal hangover because I'm not used to it and everything just moves.
Because
I've got a stronger prescription in one eye than the other. And so I like turn around. Like if I do that, my monitor just goes woo 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 woo.
Are you sure these glasses, these frames are not laced with some kind of hallucinogenic?
Well, I'm also very hungover, so it could be both, I guess. But I didn't think that.
I got the terrible thing where I got new glasses. I didn't realise I needed them. It's one of those things where I assumed everything was just slightly out of focus. I would literally go to the cinema and I would be frustrated that whoever lensed the picture hadn't done it in focus. And I was there going, oh, these bloody projectors, they're rubbish, aren't they? No, my face. My face was rubbish all along. Yeah. And I put glasses on, everything snapped into focus, and I wept at the horrible, horrible HD nature of reality.
My glasses were quite cheap, so I thought, you know, that'll be nice. Cheap glasses is fine. And then I looked at my TV through my cheap glasses and it looks like utter tosh. So now I have to buy a new TV as well. So thanks, glasses manufacturers. So,
the ability to see is a mixed blessing. I think you'll find. You suddenly realise how good/rubbish everything looks. So we're not here to talk about weather because that's really boring. We're here to talk about games. Specifically mobile games. Let's do that right now. Updates! Bug Heroes 2 is now out on Android. If you've not encountered Bug Heroes before, it is a multiplayer game. I assume the first one was. The second one certainly is, in which you take control of a bunch of little insectoid beasties where you run around a few environments, things like tabletops and kitchen floors and all of that, and you blow up the opposition in online team deathmatch sort of things. We reviewed it on AppSpy. You can find a link in the chat window there. Quite liked it as well. It's really, really nicely presented. The upgrading is kind of good fun, and provided your internet connection is strong enough, it's nice to play with someone else online. I can't remember if either of you two played this one.
I reviewed it for Pokemon.
What do you reckon?
It's quite good. I gave it a 7. It was a bit of a... It's fun, but not as much fun if you don't have any friends. Which is true of all of life.
Pretty much that volleyball game that you played by yourself on the beach. It was over kind of quickly, and you looked a bit sad.
Did you hear that spike and then the lonely ball bouncing on the opposite side? Like, I wish I had pals.
I know, it's a little bit tragic. But provided you do have some mates, so you'll be able to download it on Google Play right now for £1.18. Because, you know, exchange rates, or $1.99, which is a little bit rounder and makes a lot more sense. So get on that if you haven't already. Also, Warhammer 40k Carnage, which is that kind of silly but also quite fun side-scrolly, hacky-slashy game platformer, has just got a massive big update, which adds new missions, a new playable character, which is a Dark Angel, I think. Because previously you were an Ultramarine, am I right?
Yeah, I think there were Blood Angels in it as well.
Oh, were they? Okay.
If you got far enough in.
Fair enough. Well, now you can do the Dark Angels. I always quite like the Dark Angels. If I was going to pick an allegiance, they would be with them. Yes, they are. That is their redeeming feature. And you have to apparently break them free from a prison and seek vengeance on their captors. So that's what you're going to do with your dude. You also get a new weapon. So you get a plasma gun that is able to take out multiple orcs at once. That's always handy. It takes part. It's part of the war gear supply caches you earn by completing missions and spending gold. So there you go. There's a lot of stuff. The game itself was quite pricey, as I remember. It's like a £5, $7 or $8. But it was kind of enjoyable with it. So, there you go. It's available on both the App Store and on Google Play as well. So if you haven't already got it, then you can grab it post-haste. Also, Dead Trigger 2's been updated. This game always gets updated. because it's quite popular, some would say. It has got a new tournament mode, additional weapons, and a lot of other stuff too. Let's get specific. What have we got? The weekend tournaments take you to a brand new arena called Purgatory, which apparently features gallows ropes, impaling traps, and other unpleasant thingies. There's a new story campaign that takes place in Europe and a new oil field to capture. Plus, four new environments, a university, a jungle, the Arctic, and an airport. The really important thing that people want to know about is guns, obviously. So there's one called the Metal Storm, which fires a storm of metal.
Right.
It's pretty much what you're after there.
Go on.
Another one called Area 51, which can disintegrate an enemy in a couple of seconds. So that's probably an alien-influenced thingy right there. A bunch of other tweaks as well, but that's the most important stuff. You can download it for free, the update, that is, on iPhone or iPad right now. This, did it make it over to Android? No, it hasn't actually, but apparently we're hoping it's going to be coming soon. Google,
they're usually quite good at getting stuff over on.
Yeah, so with any joy, it'll be appearing on your Android devices soon enough. And also, Minecraft Pocket Edition has got a massive, great, big update, which has brought us up to... Originally, it was 0.9.0. Then there was a quickly released bug fixed after that, which was 0.9.2. Now we're up to 0.9.3, I think?
No, are we?
Apparently. That's what it says in this article. God. I thought it was 0.9.2, but apparently it's 3 now. And you get loads more stuff. That's about as detailed as I'm going to be about it. No, you do get other things. Apparently, you get like a wolf. You can make friends with a wolf, mm-hmm. who then like follows you around and is your companion. That's quite cool. There are other things as well, but if you really want to get the full-on list, go and visit the site, because not only do we have an article explaining the update, we've also updated our full-on Pocket Gamer Minecraft Pocket Edition guide. So now it teaches you how to do crafting and smelting and stone cutting and absolutely everything. And Mark's been working hard today to update it and has literally just got it finished and live. So if you are interested to see what the full changelog or stuff that's been added, go and check it out. And if you're thinking of getting started in the world of Minecraft, this is the way to do it. The Walking Dead, the fourth episode of season 2, is coming to Vita. And coming to iOS as well. We've got some names, we've got some release dates, and a couple of pictures, and a little bit of a trailer as well. Go onto the site and have a look at it. It's called Amid the Ruins, which is going to be the fourth and therefore penultimate episode, yeah, of The Walking Dead Season 2. It's going to be coming to iOS on July the 24th. If you happen to have a Vita, it's going to be coming to North America on July the 22nd. Yeah, they all release around about the same time. I remember, because I follow Telltale on Twitter, they always have that little list of dates they tweet, and they're all within 2 or 3 days of each other. So the iOS version will be turning up on the usual Wednesday night, Thursday morning day. So that'll be next week, if you're interested. We haven't got the release date for Android yet. Sorry, but you know what you're going to do. You can see what it's going to bring in a little trailer, which is now going to play on the Twitch stream if you're not watching it. Lucky you. Apparently, it's always difficult. I don't know what to say. The trailer, spoilers if you don't want to hear. I'm going to wait for a few seconds now. Clementine's got a gun.
Whoa there, Clementine.
I know, right? So it's stuff's getting real. That's all I'm going to say. Because
Orange, you glad she does, though?
That's what? Terrible. No.
Orange,
go,
you
just,
glad?
No.
That what's she orange got to do with anything?
Clementine
oh.
has...
Oh.
Orange, you glad?
Yeah.
Clementine has a gun.
Yeah.
Now.
I'm glad I'm back on AppSpy again, because it's like zingers like this that I've missed. From you, Peter. Right, so you can buy it... for £2.99 or $4.99 on the App Store or Google Play when it goes live next week. I'm not going to talk about the plot. We've discussed this game a million times already. You just need to know that it's coming out. And you can buy it or not buy it as you see fit. You can download the app for free, though. I'm pretty sure you can still do that first episode for free thing. That's a thing that you could do on the other version, but I don't know. Anyway, it's going to be out next week, so I look forward to continuing the saga then. Also, I wanted to discuss this, and I'm not doing it in new releases because I haven't really played it much, but it's popped up in a few places, a few friends talking about it. Ingress, right? Oh, we've lost Harry on the stream. Bloody hell. Here we
just
go.
Just my video turned off for some reason.
Oh, he's back again. All right.
Maybe I have to move enough, more.
It's taken offence to your glasses. No, move less. Moving more freaks it right out.
Mm.
I want to talk to you guys about this because I haven't had a chance to play it yet, and I'm wondering if either of you have had a look. Ingress, which is that location-based mobile appy thing in which you're trying to like take over or save chunks of the world by moving around with your iPhone on you. Anyone played it?
I played it very, 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 very long time ago.
Did you do like
when it first came out on the Androids? Because it's been out on Android for years.
Oh, really? It's been out for a while?
It was beta on, and I played it, but there wasn't anything to do around where I lived, so I stopped.
Right. So just to explain people basically what you have to do in it, as with all location-based apps, you turn it on and you get presented a map, which is kind of loosely based on where you are, where you live, right?
Yeah. But it's like, it's a sci-fi tweaked Google Maps, basically. It is right. Sort of, these portals essentially occur, and they occur in the real world, but not, just like, they're just in places that exist in the real world. So, like, gotcha. Monuments and stuff are more likely to get more portals on them because they're more obvious and they're easier to find and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. And then there are two factions in the game. One who's, like, the ones who like the portals, and then there's one that doesn't like the portals. And you choose a faction, and then you like it's sort of like a real life capture point. So like if you stand there and you get it, and then you can get like technology and stuff so that you can hold it or get more points. And I think there's probably lasers or something. I don't know.
So it's like being lasers. Crowned the king of Costa or whatever they do on those like Foursquare apps.
Yeah.
Only it's this sci-fi overlaid thing, which has actually been done really slickly. The reason I kind of took an interest more than other location-based apps is that the kind of overlay, the sci-fi gubbins that they've put over top of it, actually looks quite slick. And I've had a couple of people who are friends of mine ask me if I've tried it, who don't really generally do mobile gaming stuff. But they're like actually quite interested by this because if you move around on a daily basis, you can inadvertently be playing it without really trying. There was a discussion within the Pocket Gamer community, within the staff anyway, that you should really be tying these kind of apps to fitness or you're missing out on a massive market. I think George Osborne, who we talked to on one podcast a while back when we were in Helsinki for that conference, pointed out that really most location-based stuff is best tied into fitness apps because that's the prime kind of demographic that uses this sort of thing. Mm. Whereas the average person maybe isn't that fast. Have you ever got sucked into one of these location-based games, like voluntarily, rather than just trying it out for yourself?
I don't think like location stuff has really grabbed me, with the sole exception of, I want to say it was called something like Band Stars. It was made by a company called Mobile Pie.
Okay.
You could put your band's poster on the walls of certain locations, and like that would get you money in the game if it still was controlled by you. That was kind of cool. The only thing I actually like about the controller going out into the world and socializing and being interactive in a digital space, in a real space. The only stuff with that is the 3DS, like, Spot Pass stuff. I love that.
Oh,
that's
Street
awesome.
Pass, yeah.
Yeah, so yeah, Street Pass. Like, that stuff's really cool, and I've never really understood why iPhones and iPads and Android devices haven't had one of those yet. One of those kind of, like, go along, play some mini-games, collect-a-thons, share information sort of dealios. I think that would be quite fun.
That's a fair point, considering they're all wireless devices by their very nature. Maybe people will be worried because, unlike a Nintendo DS, for example, you've got a lot of personal data stored on there and you don't want people accessing that in Wi-Fi space. But you're right, I'm surprised they haven't used it yet. It's available for free, this Ingress game. It is one of the ones that was out late last week, early this week. Yeah, on iOS, but apparently it's been kicking around.
Well, it's a Google game.
Oh yeah, of course they own the whole thing, don't they? Yeah. I wanted to do a hands-on with it, right? But by its very nature, if I record a hands-on, I have to be plugged into my device, and therefore I'm going to be sat at my desk doing nothing. And really, you want that kind of thing to be on the move, so you can show people how it works. So it'll make a very, very boring hands-on video. But instead, just bring it to people's attention if they haven't played it, because some people have found it's quite addictive and fun. And seeing it in motion, it's quite classy. It looks like quite a slick version of this kind of game. But it's called Ingress, and it's out now if you do want to take a look at it. shifting to stuff that's coming out soon, 80 Days. It's called, I think it's called, just called 80 Days, not called Bomb
Just
called. Yeah. It's one of them Steve Jackson-style interactive adventure game novel doodads in the style of Sorcery, of which there are two chapters currently available on iPhone and iPad, which are actually very, very good. I'm a big fan of those games. They do the turn-based stuff quite well, and they do that branching storybook, adventure book narrative. If you're a youngling back in the day, we used to have books, and they'd say, do you punch a goblin in the face, turn to page 45, or do you cup his balls and tweak his nose, turn to page 109? And that's how you would control your adventure. That was a weird adventure, but it was the 80s,
we
man.
We read very different
I know,
books.
Right? Either way, that's how it used to work. They've transferred it into a sort of a similar thing on iOS, which is represented by a little marker on a map, and you move your guy around, and you're still presented with the same choices, and what do you do? And they've actually converted it very, very well, and I like the Sorcery games. This one is based on the Phileas Fogg Round the World in 80 Days story.
Is that the guy who makes crisps?
No. It's a guy who was a lion in that cartoon. Everyone,
and he was Alan Partridge.
Oh, yeah, Alan Partridge in the film. No, he's none of those things. It's an explorer who says, "I'm going to go around the world in 80 days in a hot air balloon." Primarily, I think, isn't it?
No, that's not true.
Just the cartoon?
It was all a cartoon. It's not in the book. He just uses sensible means of transport.
You mean he's not a lion?
He's not a lion either.
Full.
And it's a bet, I believe. He bets that he can get round in 80 days.
All right, okay. If he had a line, he would have done it in 50, I'm just saying. Right, so what it is, you can see stuff, a video up on Pocket Gamer, which I'm actually streaming at the moment. It's showing the guys talking through it. You can actually see Steve Jackson and co, I think it is. Is it not? No. Oh, it's the Inkle guys then, the developers.
Yeah, it's Inkle guys, and I can't remember who wrote
Steve Jackson's too busy sitting on his big, like, Throne of Orc books.
Throne of Orc. Just one orc sitting there looking grumpy with Steve Jackson sat on his face.
Sits on him like R. Kelly.
Yeah. So it's showing a lot of stuff where you can see your globe, and obviously you're trying to make your way around. Apparently it's got ludicrous stats about how many words. Apparently the script has around 500,000 words in it, and there are 10,000 choices which you can make. And as you play through, the AI system adapts to your preferences, making every single player's experience entirely unique. Apparently, so that's.
I've played it.
Oh, have you? And
yeah.
What's
I was
going
like to let you go on for a bit longer.
Fumbling in the dark.
It's really clever. It's sort of it's choose your own adventure, but it doesn't feel like you're reading through a book. You sort of have these different. You need to obviously get around the world in 80 days.
Yeah.
And there are your choices are mainly sort of your style of transport, and then you have conversations and stuff that change the relationships you have with people. Mm-hmm. So you're mainly like Phileas Fogg is there, but you're mainly playing Passepartout, who is his like manservant.
Oh yeah.
It's sort of set in a steampunk Victorian era, so there's like clockwork soldiers and cool stuff, and you have to sort of balance your budget, and you've got like cases you can take, but if you take a car you might get somewhere faster, but you might have to dump half of your stuff because it won't fit in the car. So you could take the train and take all your stuff, but it'll take longer and go a different way.
Oh.
And there's also some really cool social network integration and stuff, so you can see where your friends are
on their journey
in the journey around the world to see who can get there quicker and stuff like that. So it's really good, really, really well written as well. Just like ridiculously well
written. That's what I've heard. It's actually genuinely decent text,
yeah.
Which is sort of hard to come by sometimes in the gaming world. When is the release date for this? Let me double check if you've got an actual
Thursday.
Oh, brilliant! Actually, out this Thursday. Oh, I'm psyched. Then this is great. So it's going to be July 24th. That's next Thursday, incidentally, as you're listening to this. So not today, obviously.
No.
I'm totally up for this. I really like what Inkle did with the previous Sorcery games, and it looks classy as hell from the trailer, so I won't be surprised if this one turns out to be swish. So
there's a preview up on Pocket Gamer.
Oh, lovely. There you go. Check it out, and keep your eye on the App Store on July 24th, which is when it goes out. I also want to cover this. The run, it's called an abstract runner. That's what they've referred to it as. But I saw it when it was on PC, and I was interested in the fact that it was going to come to iOS. Photonica, it's called. Let me drag up the pretty GIF. Ah, there it is. So it looks like an endless runner, right? in which you charge headfirst down a series of corridors, but it's done in kind of vector art, so it's all white lines in the style of the original Elite way, way, way back on the Spectrum, with some colourful blocks floating around. So it's got an endless runner mode in which you, from what I can work out, it's like got to be like simple flicks on the screen to make you jump over the right platforms, I guess. It's all about leaping over chasms, and it gains speed really, really, really quickly, and just looks really stylish and sort of fun. Apparently, the PC version is really, really well received, and they've been working quite hard on the iOS version. The guys behind it, which is Santa Ragoni, I think that's the name of the developer, they've completely revamped the game and the controls and the content. So rather than just churning out the same PC version as a port. They're also saying it's going to support local multiplayer. I suppose it's pass and play, I imagine. That's what they're talking about, local multiplayer. And you can also do it in landscape or portrait mode, which is handy for people who like holding their device a certain way. I only bring it up because it looks quite swish, and I did see the trailers and thought, ooh, I'd quite like to have a go on that. It's not coming out till the summer, and we will let you know when the actual official release date arrives, but I'm sort of quite up for it. Out and about this week, Broken Sword 5, The Serpent's Curse, Episode 2, has finally made an appearance on iPhone and iPad. This is obviously the second installment of the most recent Broken Sword, which became available on Vita and iPhone and iPad and that lot earlier this year? Yeah, it was earlier this year, a couple of months back, and was received with mixed criticism.
We didn't like it, did
no.
we?
No.
The game had, well, Mark
didn't like it.
Who was, incidentally, a huge fan of the series. Broken Sword is one of his favourite games of all time. The first one, that is. And, you know, he knows it pretty much inside out. So he was the man to take the review. He gave the first part 5 out of 10.
Have you played it?
No. I've played the first ones and stuff. I haven't played this new one.
No, that, I mean, the first part of, 5 is just... dull.
Really?
So dull. Ooh. Like, I got bored.
Oh, that's a shame. I think even Keith, who's also a big fan of this podcast regular Keith, he had issues too. Mark describes it as pleasant and beautiful because it does look good and they've got the animation nice and it looks very much in keeping with the that kind of... well, it's a mixture of 3D and 2D stuff, but it feels very much in line with the rest of the visuals and the atmosphere. But apparently, lame puzzles, slow progress, a bland plot, and bad jokes.
The jokes are like, hey, you remember the original Broken Sword? That was funny.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Like, to the point of, like, I believe the trailer for the second part is talking about a goat. Like, not this again.
I know. Goats, like, lol, am I right?
And it's like, Charles, come on. Like... it's really worrying because this is meant to be like the point-and-click, serious-ish point-and-click adventure, and it's just, ugh, rubbish.
That's a shame. Well, if you want to play it, you still need to get the first half, so it'll cost you £2.99 or $4.99. We can't really get behind it massively, but if you do want to, it will be available from tonight, I suppose. Now.
Tonight.
Now?
Yeah. It's available as an in-app purchase.
Yeah, okay. So it's available right now if you want to go and grab it. It's Broken Sword 5, The Serpent's Curse. That's the full title. What else have we got? Oh, yeah, that Game of Thrones game. So Game of Thrones Ascent, which I believe started out life as a Facebook game and then migrated over onto the iPad, is now available for the iPhone as well. I played it a bit on the stream last night, and I played it a little bit before that anyway. It's one of these build-up-your-own-area, Farmville-ish resource management game, but it's got a bit of a plot tied to it as well. So you start out as some lowly, humble, you know, peasant type who has to become a noble person and eventually ascend to the throne, the Iron Throne, in true Game of Thrones fashion. It's not got much in the way of visual excitement, put it that way. It's all done in still images, and you take quests from people, and they give you lines of dialogue appear on screen. You choose one of two options, mostly which result in the same result from what I've played so far, but I'm sure that changes later on. And as you progress, you earn experience points and stuff, and then you can build up your own, like, fort, your own region. So you can collect yourself up a nice little landmass filled with mighty towers and steeds, and then you become loyalty, and then someone comes along and probably kills you immediately when you weren't expecting it, because that's Game of Thrones, isn't it? It's available on Android as well, and it's supposed to thrive off of the back of social aspects. So apparently you should be able to, like, call in other people to help you out. There's an alliance challenge or two, so you can get your mates involved and you will go and off and do a bit of cooperative multiplayer. But there's also PvP stuff if you want to take on your mates' fort or whatever. So yeah, the Android version is now out, and the iPhone version is available as well. So if you haven't seen it on iPad and we're holding out, you can grab it now. Also, out now, and this only just got updated and came out, Guardians of the Galaxy, the Universal Weapon movie tie-in game, is out now. It had been soft launched in Malaysia. We talked about it a couple of weeks ago. And now it's out for reals on App Store, and I think it appeared on Android a couple of days back as well. Yeah. So, Peter, you had the most experience with this. You did a bit of a hands-on. How did it fare?
I thought it was a free-to-play game. and it's paid.
Right.
Yeah, so it's
got no in-app purchases either. It's really weird.
It is really weird. It feels like a free-to-play game, but it's paid. And the actual battling is very small arenas. You have a small team of your Guardians of the Galaxy who, I should point out, I've been told by a fellow journalist and techie person, Chris Lipscomb. He got in touch with me after he heard the podcast last week and said that the Guardians of the Galaxy are very important and very good, and that I should learn more about them. So there we are.
Scolded for dissing them, were you?
Yes, exactly. So they are apparently they're a very fun bunch of Marvel people, you use them in these little confined arena battles with thugs and brutes and so forth, and you tap and hold your character, drag it over to the enemy, and you begin to automatically fight them. There are special attacks as well. This kind of like spices up the gameplay a little bit. You'll need to utilize those to actually get through the game. Then when you're not in the middle of a battle, you upgrade your characters, you get them new equipment, and you continue like that. There's a bit of grind. The characters look kind of chibi and bobblehead and quite funny, and I quite like that. But I don't know, I just thought it was a free-to-play game.
It's smooth animation, and it does look quite cutesy. They do look like bobbleheads, but you're right. And you pointed out, I think, a couple of weeks ago, that it looks like that Ghostbusters game that was released.
It feels
that
like
played,
that Ghostbusters game.
You just put your finger on the guy, you drag him towards the enemy with a little line, and then you just watch it as they fight. Yes, I'm surprised it's premium as well. I haven't played it, so I'm not going to pass judgment. It is out right now. It costs you £2.91 or $4.99 on Google Play, and presumably £2.99, $4.99 on the App Store as well. You can see the hands-on already that went up a week or two back on AppSpy if you want to go and take a look, and the reviews will be up shortly. Also out at midnight, Mad Bullets. I should say out right now. It was out at midnight yesterday. A cartoony Wild West shooter. Who had a go at this? Harry, you had a bit of a go at this, didn't you? Or at least you wrote about it.
I wrote about it. I didn't play
lies. It's a gallery shooter. It's like that Tex game, which from back in the day. Remember the one that was really famous for having real life like film
Quick
on it?
Quick Draw McGraw.
That's probably the one. Yeah,
Mad Dog McCree.
That's it. Yeah.
Close enough.
Whatever.
Awesome.
No one's gonna check.
No, exactly. It's that, only it's, you know, animated and stuff. So it's a gallery shooter done to look like the Old West, in which you have to tap on the screen and shoot all the nasty people who appear, who are mostly cowboys, and probably shoot some Indians as well in a slightly racist way. And avoid shooting the inevitable damsel in distress that pops up.
The way they phrased the damsels in distress was, they said, I think they're described as women in bondage. Or like bondage women. And they're all tied up. And it's like,
right.
I think you should have used the better translation software when you were writing your App Store description.
Quite possibly. And they're also, judging by the trailer, there's a bit with ninjas in it. You get to shoot and tap at ninjas.
Yeah, there's a bit in the trailer as well where a red bird flings towards the screen.
Actually, I mean, in fairness, the art style looks all right. The areas, the environments are 3D. The characters are 2D pop-ups. like you'd expect from something like a gallery shooter, and they kind of scroll left and right. It appears to be pretty tongue-in-cheek, like you say, a red bird, which looks a bit Angry Birdsy appearing in ninjas, and I bet you there's a zombie or two. I guarantee there'll be a zombie somewhere. Yep. It's out right now. It's free to download, I think only on the App Store. No, it might be on Google Play as well. They're advertising it as appearing on there, so might be there right now. Either way, you can go and have a look for free. Fill your bloody boots. Now, BioInk, which is a game that we talked about on the stream, Twitch stream yesterday, which I took issue with, and you took less issue with. So it's a medical simulator in which you try to compromise the immune system of a patient by, by gradually infecting different areas of their body, exploiting their own physical weaknesses, and essentially trying to kill them in as quick a time as humanly possible. You do this by clicking on different areas of the body, so like, for example, the central nervous system, the respiratory system, the digestive system, and you have to choose different diseases and ailments and viruses with which you can infect them. In order to do that, in order to upgrade, you have to collect like bacteria point things, which present themselves as little floating bacteria organisms, which appear much like the sun appears. Those little sun blobs appear in Plants vs. Zombies. So you have to keep your eye out. When they appear, you tap the screen, you collect them, and then you use the points to gradually kill your dude. It looks quite good, and it plays all right. Like, I didn't mind it when I was playing it. You've played... You've at least looked at this, Harry, and I know you've played
I've reviewed it.
Okay, all right then.
I think it's not up on Thursday, but it'll be up tomorrow morning, Friday morning, so it'll be up if you're listening to the podcast.
All right, so what did you reckon?
I liked it as a game. I think it got a 7.
Yes.
But as a concept, it's just awful. It's like, I think the way I put it in the review, like, as gamers, we're sort of conditioned that success is a good thing. Mm-hmm. That when we get to the end of a level, then we've succeeded, and that's great. And we say, yeah, let's move on to the next level. But getting to the end of the level is that you've just murdered a human in some of the worst ways imaginable.
There is that, yes.
I did feel bad about giving Danny cancer.
I think we all felt bad about that.
I don't mind so much that, because even though it's a gradual slow death and you're giving them diseases, it draws out the murder experience. But really, you spend most games murdering people. Like,
I'm not... I'm not saying that murdering people is necessarily bad, but...
that would be a radical and outrageous stance to take. My issue is more the titling, I think, and I brought it up yesterday and people said, oh, what are you making a big deal out of it for? But I'm sorry, like, this is Plague Inc. on a micro scale, right? So it's exactly the same as Plague Inc., but instead of taking control of an entire globe full of people and infecting everyone on a planet, you're kind of zooming it down to a micro scale, and the body becomes the planet. And you're trying to break down individual parts of the body and kill that one person by using diseases. That's Plague Inc. on a small scale. Now that's fine, because obviously they're using that as inspiration, but they've called their game Bio Inc., which is clearly deliberately trying to associate itself with Plague Inc. When I saw it, I thought it was a sequel. I thought it was a spin-off from Plague Inc. Plague Inc. has been massively popular, and I think it's pretty out of order, really, to deliberately associate yourself with that brand. It does appear to me that it's trying to fool, trying to trick people into thinking that it's something it's not. I think that's weak source. Had they just called it something completely different, and you'd go, well, it's clearly inspired by this game, but fine. But this isn't that. Like, they are deliberately trying to make you think it was developed by Endemic. Or they wouldn't have called it that. It's a game about giving people infections with the suffix ink. And there's only one other game that does that, and it also deals with delivering infections to try and kill everybody. I don't think that's on. I think that's bang out of order, frankly. Peter, not so fast? Nobody else fast?
It's a bit grim, isn't it? Like, it's a bit like... The comparison in terms of its gameplay was always going to be made, and therefore, if this is not a deliberate, like, we're going to crimp on Plague Inc., then, like, you need to move yourself away from Inc.
Yeah.
It just looks a bit dodgy.
I don't mind it being an inspiration, but I think you cross a line when you deliberately start trying to pass your game off as someone else's. Like, if this was, you know, in the wake of Flappy Bird, you got a million... you know, Clappy Bird and Happy Bird and Slappy Bird, and you got all of that, which are obviously deliberately trying to make out like they're the same thing and con people. It's like those movies. There's a whole range of movies that when big blockbusters come out, there's a production company dedicated to making a very, very, very low budget movie that's basically the same. And for example, when Transformers came out, they come out with Transmorphers. And when The Terminator comes out, they come out with Terminators. And it's all, and they're all about robots and crap like that. So it's trying to trick people who were in the store, like parents maybe, who were renting something for a friend or their kids or whatever. And they make them think that it's that movie when it's not. And then they get the movie home and they go, oh my God, this is crap, what have I just bought? It's a deliberate con. And I don't like that. I think that's really dishonest. And I think here they have deliberately... There's no way this is a coincidence. If it was a completely different game about something else, not about giving people infections and trying to murder them one stage at a time by giving them diseases, just like Plague Inc., then you'd be able to argue it differently. But it is, and it's... I think it's in bad taste. So minus several points for that, as far as I'm concerned. But I do concede that the game's actually all right and fun to play. So if you don't care about that, you can get it right now. It's £1.49 or $1.99 on iPhone and iPad as well, I think. Bio Inc. Plague Inc. Also, Secret Files Tunguska, which is a port of a PC game, a point-and-click adventure that came out a while back on the PC.
It's a port of a DS game.
I thought it was on PC as well, no?
It's PC, it DS, PS, and Wii.
Oh, okay, I'm sorry.
There you go, yeah.
I'll get back so in my box.
Yeah, I think it came out on... I don't know which one was first, though. We mentioned the DS because we're mobile-oriented, but yeah, it was PC as well. Point-and-click adventure game in which you have to try and find your dad, who's gone missing around Tunguska, and Tunguska is that area in which a meteor supposedly crashed into Russia, and in the X-Files, black oil and stuff appeared, right? That's the only reason I know anything about Tunguska, is because of the X-Files.
The only reason I know anything about Tunguska is because my gran had a load of cigarette cards.
Really?
Stuck in a book, and there was one that was like great unexplained mysteries, and then it was Tunguska, this giant thing, the explosion that wiped out this huge area of Siberia.
Well, apparently, you're taking control of Nina, who is the daughter of this guy, and he's looking around to try and find her dad. I think also at some point you take control of Max, who is his assistant. I played it a bit on the stream. It is quite all right to look at, actually. It's quite handsome, because usually these games tend to reflect the 80s/90s point-and-click adventure, so they look a bit pixel arty, like Blackwell that was released last week in 3 episodes. This isn't that. This is the characters are rendered in 3D and it looks quite smart and everything. The translation's a little bit wonky. I came across a bunch of iffy spelling stuff just within the first 15 minutes. I wasn't super drawn to it, but I think, Peter, you say it had quite a following on PC or the DS.
Yeah, it has a bit of a following. It's much loved. I don't think the second one's quite as loved, but I don't know, we were talking about it on the stream, weren't we, that I think it was just because it came out around the time when there weren't many adventure games coming out, and therefore anything that was around that genre was kind of, and was vaguely decent, was kind of lapped up by the fans that wanted it.
Right, and now I suppose we have a plethora of these kind of games.
Well, yeah, now we have Telltale, and it's like, Wadja Eye Games are making games that cater to that group, and Telltale are doing their things, and Revolution are back on the scene. Like, I don't know, this game just feels a bit...
But it does have a fan base, so we'll take a look at it. We're going to be reviewing it as well. It'll cost you £2.99 or $4.99 on both iPhone and or iPad. Finally today, let's take a look at Battlefleet 2, World War 2 in the Pacific, which very much does what it says on the tin. It is a quite involved strategy naval simulator where you take control of your fleet, being either the Americans or the Japanese, and you have to do mighty battles on the seas. So you start out with kind of an overview of the world map, and it looks much more like those turn-based strategy games with no animation in, where you just see a big map divided up into regions, and you tap on your area, your little group of ships, and then you tap in the area, the tile you want them to move to, and then a movement happens. So it looks like it's going to be one of those really simple, no animation, text-based adventures. But when you do your move, it then swoops in, goes right down to sea level, and you see a very dramatic 3D representation of your ships and the enemy ships and like little outposts which they have on islands. And then you take control of your ships one by one. You use a little compass to point them in the right direction, and then you control the distance that they travel. Once you execute your moves, like the enemy will take their turn, then your moves will play out. And you have to go by and conquer or lose that particular region. Then once you've done that, it zooms back out to the overview of the world map, and you can progress with you know, another tile, another area, and it zooms back in. So it's kind of switching between this big overworld and this up-close-and-personal 3D kind of look. I think I like this more than you in terms of presentation, Peter. I think you've found it a little bit cluttered in terms of the UI.
It doesn't work for me.
No. I thought it was all right. I was playing it on iPad, and it's quite nice because it's some of these turn-based games are very like, tap on your man, tap on the enemy man, and then watch him walk over and fire on him. This isn't that. This is much more involved. You're like physically going in there and angling, like dragging the compass around to point exactly where you want your battleship to go, and then choosing exactly down to the meter how far you want to travel. And the same thing with the guns. When you take a shot at your enemy, you have to aim your guns, and then you have to choose the distance. Like, by judging it by eye. And then you can easily fall short or overshoot your target. So it's quite involved. Mm. So I think kudos to it for that. The issues I found were, it's really quite stuttery. Like, the frame rate is choppy as hell and kind of laggy. And I was playing it on a fourth-gen iPad with nothing plugged in. And still, it was really, really choppy. And I thought that was a bit of a shame. I'd rather it looked a bit more simple and was far smoother to move around. It was also choppy on the stream, but that was to be expected. Did you get your hands on this one, Harry? Or
yeah, I did a video for Pokegamer.
How did you find it? Like, what was your experience?
I liked the sort of the granular nature of the move and everything, and I only played like 10 minutes of it. I think there's a review about to go up on the site in 6 minutes, if you're listening now.
Okay.
So it'll be up on the site. And our reviewer, Matt, really liked it. I think he gave it an 8 out of 10.
All right.
It's got quite a focus on multiplayer as well.
Okay.
Which the developer was quite keen to emphasise.
If it plays out in a similar way as the single player, it would be really enjoyable. It is an in-depth game. Don't pick it up if you want a little light, random kind of volley of missiles, because you have to get involved and do proper commanding. So it's one for the proper strategy heads. My reservation would be the stuttery nature of the 3D visuals. I wish they dialed it back a bit so that it ran smoothly. Mm. It would make the playing process that much more enjoyable. But if you really want to get involved, it's £2.99 or $4.99. Battlefleet 2. What's the full title?
World War 2 in the Pacific.
World War 2 in the Pacific in a boat. Yeah.
Come sit upon my throne of games.
Okay, I'm going to pick on who first. Harry, what's the game this week what you has been playing the mostest? See, you generally, what we would do is we prepare these bits where we give each other a heads up, and because I've been mad busy, I totally haven't done that. So I'm gonna
say Skittles. No, Zombie Commando. I think that's a game.
Oh,
I'll just check that. That's a game. Is that a game?
Is he? You're stealing mine. That's my game.
Yes, that's what you get, Gilmore.
Oh. All right, we'll discuss this. We did a twofer last week with you and Peter. We'll do a twofer and Zombie Commando.
Okay, you go first then.
Alright, okay. So, Zombie Commando. The moment I saw the title, I immediately wanted to go to sleep, climb under my duvet, and wait until this whole zombie nonsense thing had blown over, and we could start playing games about sensible stuff, like talking mushrooms. But I didn't do that. I sat down and I downloaded it and I played it. And was more pleasantly surprised than I thought I would be. So it is an isometric top-down shooter in which you take control of a team of zombie fightery types whom you control with a single virtual stick. So rather than tapping on the screen or guiding people around one by one, you start off with four dudes and you just use the virtual stick and they all move around as a little pack. Each character is kind of noticeably different. You've got a bunch of people with like bright coloured hair, and you've got people wielding flamethrowers. One's got a machine gun, another dude's got a baseball bat, always handy. And you have to guide them around what, at least as the near the beginning of the game, is Egyptian like pyramids and stuff like that, sandy desert environment, blasting zombies, which appear both from off-screen and out of the ground, which is very inconvenient when they're behind you. You also have to deal with things like traps, and there are these Tesla coils that are activated. You have to go and save people who are trapped behind them by deactivating them. There are walls of spikes, which you have to get rid of as well, and there's the occasional escort mission thrown in for good measure. In terms of the controls, you have to be stationary in order to shoot. So every time you advance towards a zombie, you're not going to fire. The moment you stop, everyone starts shooting, and they'll only shoot in the direction you're facing until they get really close, so then they will turn around of their own accord. So the way you have to play it, the way I was playing it anyway, is you kind of advance a bit forward, shoot, shoot, shoot. Your guy with the baseball bat kind of comes out the front and starts wailing on them. But the way I've been playing it, don't know about you, Harry, is that thing where you point them towards, take a few shots, turn around, run back a little bit, turn around again, keep shooting that way to avoid your front dude getting completely crushed. You could just sit there and absorb all the hits, but you get bonuses if you survive the level intact with your entire group, you know, alive. So that's kind of how I've been playing it. I actually was sort of enjoying it more than I thought. The presentation is nice. It's 16-bit pixel art, but done really smartly, actually. And it feels like there's a lot going on. If you like, rather than it just being a mindless top-down twin-stick shooter, you are completing different objectives, you're mastering this team which has got a whole range of different weaponry, which is kind of fun to watch them shoot and explode, and then you can level up each of the individual dudes by earning these kind of gold gems that you collect as you play through, so you can improve all their various stats and unlock extra team members as well. So there's more to it than I initially thought there was. How did you find it, Ari?
Kind of reminded me, not like in a gameplay way, of Colossatron Massive World Threat. It does a similar sort of reduction of arcade gameplay.
All right.
So it's not the same mechanically at all, but it's sort of it's a big shooter game, but you're not actually doing lots.
Sure.
So, you know, Colossatron's meant to be this big action game, but you're not really doing that much. You're just dragging your finger around the screen. Mm. With this as well, you know, it's a one-stick shooter.
Yeah.
So you're not... And that opens up some quite interesting sort of tactics and self-preservation stuff and trying to get those... beat those three challenges that it gives you at the start. So it's like a shooter, but with everything basically stripped out, so you don't even get to shoot. You just have to position the shooters and the bat hitty men. And I really like that about it. It's the sort of thing, you know, you could play on a bus with one hand. Well, and it doesn't. There's no great sort of story, and there's no great sort of compulsion to play for 20,000 years or whatever. It's just quite nice to pick it up and play it and shoot some stuff and then run away a bit and then get a health pack and then free some guys and then level up a bit. And yeah, it works really well. You couldn't see it working on anything else particularly. But sort of the beat of the game fits perfectly into like small bite mobile gaming.
Yes.
And I think that's really good. It also for some reason reminded me a bit of Cannon Fodder.
Yes, yeah, that was the thing I was going to reference.
Instantly made me fall in love with it, obviously.
Yeah, because Cannon Fodder is that cool. Cannon Fodder was slightly different in so much as you can use the mouse to direct your guys to a certain area and then you have to physically fire. Whereas this, like you say, does it automatically. But you do have to make sure you are pointing your dudes in the right direction. There's also that Resident Evil thing where it's like, do you move or fire? You have to stop if you want to fire, and the moment you move, you stop doing it. And if people are coming at you from all directions, which does happen from time to time, it makes things a little tricky if you just switch direction and turn around and make sure you take out everybody there. I also quite like the upgrade aspect of it.
Yeah.
Don't get me wrong, it's not breaking down any major barriers or doing something drastically new. I think it does what it sets out to achieve. See what I mean?
Yeah.
And, you know, I can't really say sort of fairer than that.
Yeah, it's like a distillation of shooting mechanics into a thing you can control with your big toe.
Exactly. And I'm so bored of zombies that I went in with super low expectations and they were slightly surpassed. So fair play to you for doing that. It's called Zombie Commando. I think it's like £1.49 or $1.99. I think that's what it costs. Like, so it's not a free-to-play thing. You can get in and play that. And it's I do like the visuals. I do think it's very, very smart-looking. And there's fun to be had here. More fun than you might think. All right, you can get that right now. It's out and about. But, Peter, what have you been playing this week?
Well, This week I've been playing another skateboarding game, but before I very quickly come to that, I just want to say that I did play Transworld skater gamey thing.
Following on from last week's derision.
Following on from last week's thing, and I will say this in its defence. The game is better on an iPad. You can see more of the game actually incoming. So
gotcha.
Yes, so there we are. I said I would, and I did, and it's now a 6 or 7 out of 10. The game that I've been playing this week is in soft launch at the moment, but it's a skating game, and it's called Epic Skater, and it is an auto runner made by Tony Hawk's developers, or ex-Tony Hawk's developers. They worked on Tony Hawk's 1 and 2, I think. I think they might have even worked on 3. But there's a few of them from that team that have gone on. They've made this, endless skater, I suppose. The reason that I really dig it, as opposed to Transworld, is the controls are much, much simpler, and they feel a bit closer to actually skating.
Okay.
And it's all on a single plane. So you move from left to right, obviously, you're automatically skating. You hold down the left-hand side of the screen, and you crouch, and then you let go, and you jump. And if you flick upwards or down, you do a trick. And if you flick down just before you're about to land onto a rail, then you grind in a specific way. Otherwise, you just grind, you just land on it automatically.
Sure.
There are forward flips and backwards flips and little spins that it adds once you get a little bit further into the game. And it is absolutely so Moore-ish. This is not True Skate and it's not Touch Grind Skate 2. If you want a proper simulation game, then obviously those are the two games that you go for. But if you just want get into it for 60 seconds, Endless Runner-esque skating game, then this is absolutely it. And it just feels so authentic. It's cartoony, it's over the top, very much in the way that Tony Hawk's was, actually.
Mm-hmm.
And in so much as Tony Hawk's wasn't really a sports game, it was an action game, or even, I would argue, bordered on a platformer.
Right.
This is a skateboarding game in name only. It could be anything else, really, but it still retains some of the feel of skateboarding.
Mm-hmm.
And when you are bombing it down a hill and you do this gigantic jump and you end up on this rail and you grind down, you do your special little tricks and your front foot forward, and then you crash into a bollard, it is extremely thrilling, and it amps up that Endless Runner vibe that's always going to be there of I hope I don't crash. But it adds to it because it's skateboarding and you feel that momentum, and it just feels it feels awesome to pull off rad tricks, and you can pull off the raddest of tricks.
Oh, you just said rad twice
in this. So I will say I think it is rad. It's ultra rad. There you go. That's my review of it.
Is it bodacious?
It's bodacious. It's radical. It's gnarly. It's all the other words. the sort of grinding for coins and stuff like that, it just feels right. It feels fair. The environments are varied, and you never feel hamstrung having not played 1,000 hours to grind for a whole bunch of stuff. When you start the game, you feel just as powerful as you do 2 hours in.
Is it a free-to-play thing, I'm assuming? Where you collect coins?
I think it's free-to-play.
It's offering you coins on this video that I'm playing right
now. There are
coins
in there. There is currency in there, but I think it's free-to-play. Okay. I hope it's free-to-play.
It looks like it. Yeah.
It looks like it, but then, so did Guardians of the Galaxy, so...
Oh, snap! Go on,
Harry. I just want to make a point here. I think what a lot of people sometimes forget about the Tony Hawk's games is that they were essentially auto runners as well, weren't they? Because you skated, you steered left and right, but you went forwards to whatever happened. You could just go into walls and stuff.
And
all you were concentrating on there was your line and your buttons.
Yeah.
The tricks that you were pulling off. And that was what made them so great. Because, you didn't have to worry about that, because that was just going to happen. That didn't really work for the podcast. You didn't have to worry about going forwards, because that was just going to happen.
Yeah.
What you had to worry about was how your character interacted with the scenery. Mm-hmm. And that's what you want from an arcade skateboarding game.
Yeah,
so good
absolutely.
On you, Peter.
Well, good, fun. Good. I'm glad we agreed on this one.
We have struck an accord.
Yes.
I obviously have to hate the game on principle.
Sure, no, that's fine.
Yeah. It's rubbish on an iPad, so...
Oh, right. Okay, you should play it on an iPhone.
I know, right? Which I suspect wraps it up for this week. Thank you everyone for listening and for watching as well. We're going to be back next week for more of your mobile gaming antics. So join us then. Thanks for playing with us. Bye.
Bye. Bye.